welcome back, friends. So, continuing with John of the Cross, his own personal commentary of his poetry. She rests in delight, laying her neck. So I would never, you might be different, Sarah's different, but I would never have, no, when I hear the word neck, I'm too sensual. I think that that's this thing here. Not so for John. The neck for him refers to the soul strength, by means of which, as we said, it is affected this union with her bridegroom. She would be unable to endure so intimate an embrace if she were not now very strong. And because the soul labored by means of the strength, she went through that dark night of the soul, the heat of the summer. She's practiced the virtues and conquered. She kept with it. She didn't, you know, get burnt up under the strife of it. It is right that with the strength by which she struggled and conquered, she rests, laying her neck on the gentle arms of her beloved. To reclaim her neck on the arms of God is to have her strength, or better, her weakness now, united to the strength of God, for the arms of God signify God's strength.
Yeah. I mean, it is so interesting, you know, the fulfillment of the human person in the mystery of God. Nothing makes sense unless you have him as the measure, right? The standard against which to measure yourself. You know, man can't even understand his own. I actually had this sort of a little thought when I was at adoration this morning about just how small I am next to the greatness of God. You know, just, I had just this little tiny image of just a tiny, tiny little me next to this very, very, very big thing. But then my next thought when I was sort of praying about that was that that's not how God sees me, right? He doesn't see me as small in comparison to him. He sees me as he created me to be, which means to be fulfilled by him, which means that I can only be as big as him. You know what I mean? Like in some sense, it's all like a kind of an Alice in Wonderland kind of world. We don't see things clearly. And God wants us to be filled with him. And so consequently, if he made us to receive his love, he didn't make us small and insignificant, right? We really are, but that's what I mean. We only have a true understanding of ourself when we understand the standard that is God.
That's correct. That is correct. That is correct. Exhortations from spiritual counsel. So here, you know, here's a taste, a preference, you know, matters of taste. There's no dispute. And so there's a wide, you know, those little exhortation. And in fact, I have a teaching on Proverbs. Proverbs is a whole book of just those little maxims and spiritual counsels, and you're supposed to meditate on that sort of thing. Okay. So John the Cross does the same thing. It was written for nuns, and of course, by Teresa of Avila, who were particularly ardent in their embrace of the spiritual journey. So the nuns wanted to, this is a typical attribute of those who desire God. They want to embrace him, and they want to do it quickly. Time is short. Love has little use for delay. So spiritual counsels, degrees of perfection. Number two, endeavor to remain in the presence of God. And so in which ways are those? The three ways. So the three ways to remain in the presence of God for John of the Cross, it's real, imaginative, or unitive. insofar as permitted by your works, your station of life. And for Catholics, real means adoration. We really do have Christ physically, substantially present in front of us in the Blessed Sacrament. The other ways are either it's imaginative or grace, that unitive and impression of God that way. But we really do have him physically in the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah, what a mercy.
It is. It is, yeah. and it's the only place that he's physically present. The other ways are either imaginative or unitive.
Yeah, it really is. It really is astounding, an astounding grace when you think about that, and you know, and confirmed by so very many miracles. You know, I mean, you have to work hard to doubt it now. I mean, ignorance aside, obviously the vast majority of people in the world don't know about the Eucharistic miracles. But if you know about them, you'd have to work very, very hard to deny it.
That is right. That's right.
And I was even thinking about what you were saying before. I'm still kind of meditating back on what you had mentioned a couple of talks ago on how the Shroud of Turin is almost going to be creating, that we're going to be able to be creating a moving image of him bursting forth. I mean, like that great moment, you know, where the Big Bang Theory that was postulated by Father Lemaître, right, to be able to visualize that somehow. And I almost wonder if that grace is going to be given to us through that shroud, right? These, they're not real presences per se, not obviously to the level of the Eucharist, or during adoration, or when we receive communion for that period of time when we're in communion with him. But it is interesting how many of these questions might well be answered in ways that we would never have been able to envision them.
And in a time such as ours, that perhaps we need the answers
right
now in this way, whereas other generations had answers in different ways that were suitable to, right, the mode of the receiver.
Absolutely. It goes to the point I was telling Mr. Greg the other night that, you know, I'm in this philosophy class that I've just been kind of brought into to teach. You know, the difference of an Augustine who saw faith as, reason is faith seeking understanding. I'm trying to remember the quotation. Do you know it?
Yeah, I thought that.
I can't quite, but.
I think that's St. Anselm. We will get right. It straight in
right.
There.
Right, we'll get that straightened out. We'll find the actual quote. But it's now we are no longer in a period of faith. We're really in a period of radical skepticism. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, when you don't start from a body of something, right? So faith is that bed that allows you to seek understanding, right? Faith is reason seeking understanding. Maybe that's how it goes. But the problem is that when you have skepticism seeking proof, you'll never get there.
Oh, you won't.
Because only God can create something out of nothing.
But that's true even in the, like if you're dealing with someone who has a mental instability, you can look at the grass being green, and this right. other person can look at the grass and they're going to see yellow or brown or, you know, or something else. There's always another way. Right. Oh, she's being nice to me because she wants something, or she's being nice right. to me because she's a nice person. Same action, right. Two different points of view.
Right. But because you just think about the person who walks into a church where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, believing that God is there, and how fruitful and how beautiful that time will be, as opposed to the person who walks in. I mean, and it's not to say that God can't work through your doubt. Obviously he can. But, you know, it's to walk in intending to disprove it, right? I mean, or to have malicious intent towards that. You know, it's as though you just can't get outside of yourself, right? You're, I don't know. It's really a problem of the modern age, and for God to be able to articulate these things to us in a way that's going to speak to the mind of the skeptic. We're kind of, because, you know, you and I know that when you do the labor, right? When you plant the seeds, when you water them, when you work through the 100-degree weather, right? We understand that when you get to the end of that, there can't not be joy, because you have done what God required, right? You knew, you loved, you served, and now all that remains is the happiness. But for the people who just steal the fruit, or, you know, despise the fruit because they don't like the taste, I don't know, there is an element there that, I don't know, I guess you just can't get to that level of satisfaction, right? I mean, there's always going to be a dissatisfaction there. And that goes back to Augustine's, you know, my soul is restless until it rests in you. They will never be able to find that joy without that reference back to the Almighty.
Okay. All right, my friends, we'll come back to the last episode and see if Sarah and I have an exhortation for you. Till then, my friends, fides adratio.